Hey everybody, what's up? It's me, your host, Dangerous ASMR, and we're back for another Drunk and Dangerous. And yes, once again, we're reading more of the worst rated creepypastas because I lack originality and I love the comfort of the same old, and yet the new same old, because today's story. Honestly, I'm too excited for this. I know nothing about it except the title. we've had a lot of Mr. fill in the blank here creature lately. Like last was Mr. Entropy with his fedora and gloves. Very interesting. Entropsting. Tried to make that work, it didn't work. Today's story. At a whopping 17 minutes of reading, but much more if you're ranting like a psycho, is Mr., and then all one word, Strange Teeth. And I don't know about you, but that name inspires joy. You know what I mean? It's got a 5.2 out of 10 from only 10 people, so I feel like we're one of the few to lay eyes or ears on the beauty of the Strange Teeth. And I'm excited, so hopefully you'll join me for this Mr. Strange Teeth, Drunk and Dangerous. Mr. Strange Teeth. Feels like a dentist would tell that story to get a kid to, like, brush. Be like, better brush your teeth or Mr. Strange Teeth will visit you and replace your teeth with teeth full of nasty cavities and they'll be so strange. All right, Mr. Strange Teeth. Apparently, everyone is in on the joke. Or I've been living under a rock, so I'm sorry if any of this is redundant, but I have to reach out because things have gotten really out of hand. I think the first time I encountered Mr. Strange Teeth was the day I called my cousin Greg a liar. Fucking Greg. This was, okay, 3-ish years ago. I was at a family reunion in the Outer Banks. Grandma booked a spot right off the beach, but it rained, like, the whole week. I feel like I sound too mature for this person. I take it back. I'm going to be... Grandma booked a spot right off the beach, but it rained, like, the whole week. Yeah, it's, like, way more fitting. Some cousins and I got bored, so we decided to drive into town. We come in from the north, and the whole landmass is basically one strip. So we piled into Becky, Ann, and Cyrus's cars and drove south. Come on, that voice totally works better. It was terrible driving weather, and we were all laughing in the back, so none of us blamed my brother for taking the wrong turn. To be honest, we didn't really think you could. I mean, it's a straight road up and down. Oh, they've clearly never driven... They've never been in passengers in my car. Beach on the left, beach on the right, up, down, fight, fight. But what we know, we didn't live there. Well, yeah, but, like, it'll be okay. Your names are Becky, Ann, and Cyrus. They're not going to shoot you just for being on their property. My sister's car must have stayed on the right road because she and the three cousins inside were no longer in sight. I remembered Rin was in the passenger seat, so I called her up. Her name is spelled R-I-N. I really hope it's like a shortened version because, Matt, don't name your kid Rin. Like Pin? I don't know. It's kind of shitty. Where are you guys? I asked. We're still on the road. Where are you? I thought that's where we were too. I lowered my phone and called up to Kate, who was trying to get the GPS to cooperate. any idea yet? Not really, she said, pressing hard on the screen. Okay, well, if we see anything cool, we'll text you guys, she said. Otherwise, we'll see you back at the house. At least, I think that's what she said, because the call was dropped and wouldn't reconnect. Our car ended up on this tree-lined road where all the plants looked like they weren't supposed to be there. And it's not like they were magically adapting to this climate. I mean, they all looked sick, but not like in a good way. I should realize the way I said it was like, no, but it's like they're sick. They're like actually sick. I think I even saw a cactus in the ground, but I was distracted when Liz said she saw a town through the trees. We thought she was joking at first, but Kate saw it too, so Cyrus turned the car down the first side road he could see. So Liz was kind of right. It wasn't a town. It was more like a bunch of shops connected together on stilts in case of flooding. Not uncommon. Most of the stuff we'd seen in the Outer Banks was built like that. I mean, to be fair, a giant, like, strip mall on stilts is very uncommon for me, but I don't live in the Outer Banks. So. There were only a couple of other cars in the lot, but it was a sign of civilization, at least, and that's really all we were looking for. Kate said she'd stay in the car to figure out how to get back. Cyrus offered to stay with his fiance, but she said that was fine. He could text her if there was anything worth checking out. These details might not seem important to you, but they feel crucial to me. I've turned the events over and over in my head again. Who was where? Who did what? How could it have turned out differently? I think I'm lucky. So there were three of us, Cyrus, Liz, and me, who ended up darting through the rain to the shops. We wandered from window to window under the long blue roof. Everything's closed, Cyrus said. Liz pressed her forehead to the windows as we walked along the white wooden planks. That greasy bitch, stop leaving your fucking forehead print everywhere like you're a 5-year-old. Jeez, fuck. In brackets. At least I assume they once were all white, most of the paint had stripped away from assholes pushing their greasy fucking forehead against them. Cyrus jumped up and down on the wooden walk. It feels like it's gonna break, he said, because he's like really dumb. I hope he's wearing his helmet. I scowled. Then don't do that. But I jumped on the beams too. He was right. My God. I hope you both die. I hope you both crash and die. You're like, that's so, we're gonna die. There's literally a pit full of knives underneath, but I can't resist it. The sound of the wood breaking under my feet is so satisfying. It's ASMR. Yeah, this feels really old. I looked up and saw Liz had gone off ahead. She was looking in one of the last windows. Is that the end? I shouted. I wanted to leave. The rain was leaking through the roof and the wind was pushing it sideways onto us. It felt like the soggy wood was about to give way. She better jump again to just make sure. I kept thinking about landing on a misplaced cactus. Yeah. Oh, it's not our protagonist, as lovely as she is. Yeah, I think... Whoa! Les jumped away from the window like someone had pulled on the back of her shirt. What? Someone's in there. It's open? I guess. She waved at me. So obviously we had to go check it out. I can't remember what the store's name was on the sign, but I remember thinking it was something pretty normal for the area, like Sadie's Treasures or whatever. And the store was full of the same nautical knickknacks we'd seen everywhere else. The same shirts that said things like, OBX life, but with a Y, like the worst, like the person would have live, laugh, love, but like it would be spelled with Y's where there shouldn't be Y's. And don't touch me. I'm a mermaid. I'm going to let you dry out, you dumb hoe. But the shelves behind the counter were full of glass candy jars. The counter had hollowed out spaces for displays, but there weren't any treats on the shelves. As we entered the store, this hot, stifling smell surrounded us. The woman behind the counter didn't seem bothered by it. It's probably the smell of her own farts.
"Hi, kids,"
she said. We're almost 30, but when she said hello, we sounded like children. "You're almost 30? How the fuck are you talking like this?"
"Where are you from?"
I didn't want to tell her, and apparently neither did Liz or Cyrus. Liz mumbled,
"New York?"
"Oh, fun," the woman said.
The woman had this, like, bizarre manic aura. She stood like she was sitting back on her hips. She never showed her teeth when she talked. That, well, maybe she's got them strange teeth. Her arms sat on the counter like they were heavy. Yeah, arms are heavy. Have you ever weighed one of them bitches? Heavy as hell. Even my little scrawny little baby chicken arms. Her eyes were covered in smudged mascara. Okay, don't judge me, all right? Sometimes it just smudges. I couldn't read what was on her faded black t-shirt, but she couldn't read at all. Her hair was knotted back with pieces of twine into large, messy knots. That is some fucking Blair Witch shit right there. I wondered why her store was the only one open today, and then I felt kind of bad for her. But the three of us averted our eyes and started wandering around the shop until it felt like we'd done our time and could leave. I looked at the candies behind the woman's head. Some of them were melted into total mush. They kind of looked like preserves, but completely rotten. It would explain the smell. But doesn't the Outer Banks specialize in, like, seafood? Not peaches or whatever. Liz scrolled on her phone. She said to me quietly,
"I can't check in."
"On Foursquare?"
"Yeah, I can't find it listed."
"Weird." I was staring off into space when Liz and Cyrus said,
"Thank you, thanks."
"Thank you, thanks."
I can't do it simultaneously. My vocal cords don't do that. And drifted toward the door. We were almost out. Almost.
"Do you want to try a sample?"
We turned around. She had a spoon in her hand with some kind of crunchy brown thing on it. No, I've seen this. It's like two girls, one cup. Don't do it.
"It's sweet tooth. We make it here. Try some."
Cyrus said no, and no one was surprised. He was never big on candy. I took a piece.
"Is it vegan?"
Liz asked. The woman looked at Liz and the piece of candy, and I was wondering if the woman knew what being vegan was, or if she had no idea what was actually in the candy, even though she said they made it in the store.
"Sure,"
she said.
"That's okay, thanks,"
Liz said. I think the way Liz and Cyrus were side-eyeing the candy made me want to try it more so I could reaffirm myself as a crazy one of the bunch. Live, laugh, life, am I right? And I did. I put it in my mouth, and it was the texture of undercooked popcorn. But it tasted sort of chocolate cinnamony, and there was this other flavor, this rich quality to it that I can only describe as being like meat juice. Ugh. But it wasn't bad exactly. It was just strange, like tasting barbecue crickets for the first time. I bought a bag of it. Liz and Cyrus stared at me. So I told them, the others will never believe this unless we bring something back. Cyrus joked that if we're going to bring them back strange candy, and they better be at least getting a Starbucks from the actual town we were looking for. We drove back up the road, and it was strange again how it was like we were supposed to have gone there. I mean, I was really thinking at this point that it was Becky Ann who took the wrong turn. On the way back, Liz called up Rin, and she said they're already heading back to the house because there really wasn't much to see around that part, like Harris Teeter or something. My phone buzzed in my hand, and I saw reception had come back for me, too. I had a Snapchat from Brittany of their group with two trays of Starbucks. Hashtag bestie. We got back to the house and went up to this loft space away from our parents so we could talk about where we'd been. Wait, didn't you say you're like 30? Look, I don't want to judge you, but like, you're hanging out with all your friends in your parents' house. And you don't even want to like a separate get-together location so you don't have to be like your parents around. Because like, I love my parents. But I wouldn't be like, okay, I'm almost 30, let's hang out in my treehouse. It's a little weird. I don't know. Maybe it's just weird for me. Like, living at home is one thing. It happens. The economy's shit. But I don't know. The big old, let's get two trays of Starbucks and then hang out at my parents' house. Maybe save that money. I don't know. I pulled out the bag of candy and showed them. Candy. It didn't have any nutrition facts on it or anything, just a branding stamp and a piece of masking tape to hold it closed. You really shouldn't eat that. Like, I'm just saying, it tastes like meat juice. Rin, Becky Ann, Brittany, and Greg were all on the verge of trying it until I described what it tasted like. I didn't say that my stomach felt weird because I thought it was car sickness, but in retrospect, I don't think it was. They were all hesitating. We were called downstairs for dinner. Aw, they didn't let her poison them. They're smart. And we forgot about it for the rest of the night, caught up in games and gossip and food comas. Around 11, we broke out our liquor stash, so we weren't exactly in the headspace for trying strange candy. Actually, I feel like that's the perfect headspace for it, but we were more interested in the cold pizza in the basement fridge. Now it's like one bite. You eat all the pizza and then you're like, man, I need something sweet. That's just me, maybe. The next day was sunny, so we all actually swam a bit. After the post-swim showers, we were all looking for something to do that didn't take much brain power. We ended outside on the prickly grass with a bag of candy. I can't relate. Like, you realize the TV is a thing? I mean, it's way better to go out on the prickly grass with your, you know, meat juice candy. But that wouldn't be my first thought, or like my 50th thought. Liz and Brittany wouldn't go into the grass because there were burrs in it and they'd both gotten pricked before. So they sat on the cobblestone driveway. What the fuck? Wow, they're sitting on the driveway. Do you have like blankets? Wait, so the options are sit on the driveway or go fuck up your legs with the like horrible prickly burr lawn? Those are terrible ideas. I'm going inside. You're like almost 30. What are you doing? Cyrus didn't want to eat the candy, but he was all for throwing it around. I volunteered the bag because it was way overstuffed and I still felt sick, and now I was suspecting the candy. So we all started tossing it up in the air to try to catch it in our mouths. Didn't you just say you are all suspecting it's making you sick? Hold on. You are the same bitch that earlier said, hey, this bridge does look like it could crumble at any moment, and you started jumping on it. Now you're like, hey, this candy could be making me sick, and you're having a game of catch with your fucking mouth. Your fucking mouth, and not just you, but all of your dumb shit fucking friends. Holy fuck. I'm sorry. Wow. You are all fucking stupid. You're trying.
It's not like you didn't think about it. You did. You realized it was a risk and immediately made a game out of, like, fucking yourself over.
Okay, well, you know, I've been suicidal before, but never in this kind of a way. Sounds very unpleasant. Kate joined Liz and Brittany in trying to take goofy, artsy pictures of us mid-throw. Hashtag me getting food poisoning.
Aww.
Ren ran up the balcony that faced the driveway. She wanted to try to get a bird's eye view with her Canon. That camera, not like the Canon. For the best mirror shot, Ren would shout, 1, 2, 3, go! And we toss. So it was Greg, me, Becky, N, and Cyrus in a square, tossing the candies up and across and laughing the weird globs at our faces. Yeah, I bet you did. I would prefer, honestly, the Bologna Halloween haunted, not haunted house at this point. Cyrus would spit out the candy if he caught it in his mouth. Becky Ann pulled off a small piece to try it, but she was not about it. So she started spitting out her successes, too. Greg said it was all right and he would eat the ones he caught, although I wondered if he was just saying that because most people didn't like it. Ren started laughing hysterically from the balcony. We kept asking, "What? What?" So she ran down to show us the picture. While Ren was coming down, the others pulled up their pics from the last round to see if they caught anything that was as funny. Liz's picture ended up at the sky. Kate's had been taken before we tossed, and Brittany had been clearing some memory from her phone. We looked at Ren's picture. Becky Ann pointed at the picture and said, "Whoa, Greg, from the way it blurred, it looks like you have two sets of teeth."
"Exactly,"
Ren said. We were all kind of laughing because it totally did look like that. Our mouths were all gaping open and everything was in focus except for his mouth and jaw. Greg wasn't laughing. He kept asking Ren about the picture, if she was sure it was the last one she took. But Ren said yes, it was, and she pulled up the details, and the timestamp was right, and then Greg made us all shut up. He said, "That can't be the last picture you took. I dropped my candy. I was bending down when you took it." I mean, I guess you can imagine what the conversation was after that, which wasn't much of a conversation. It was all of us assuming that someone was wrong or someone was joking around. And then finally, we landed on maybe he was lying. Lying just to be creepy and weird because we were bored and we all kind of like stuff like that. But it broke out into an argument until we were called in by our parents to help with dinner. You all live with your parents? Every single one? And for the rest of the trip, we didn't talk about it anymore because it was really tense and we were out there to have a good time. Oh, right. They're on vacation, right? Okay, that makes a lot more sense. Wait, all their parents live, like, together. They were called by their parents. Then maybe they're all hanging out? That's a lot of friend group all in one. You can have a stupid blow up over a stupid thing with your friends, but you have to be a little more careful with your family because there's a certain point on the Richter scale where it'll become part of family lore. And it was hot out and we were hungry and we'd all been eating too many ice cream bars and drinking too little water. So we were thankfully just all old enough to know when to quit. How many bars in, though, till you quit? How many bars is, oh, I like totally knew when to quit. Only like 15 bars because by then the boxes were empty. But like, I totally wasn't sick for like most of the day. I hid the bag of candy, what remained of it, in my suitcase.
You fucking said you think it's poisoning you.
I felt bad, like weirdly ashamed because I was the one who bought the candy. It was like we were yelled at after having fun, but we didn't really know why. I also blame some of Greg's and my bad moods on the candy. My stomach really felt nauseous consistently for the rest of the trip. You should definitely eat it when you get home. I thought that was the end of it. We all left the beach house. We went home. Then Greg was in the hospital. His mouth had been hurting, Liz told me. It got worse the week after we got back. He went to the dentist, and they said it might be a root canal. What? The cause is a root canal? Oh my God, when you slept, they did an unauthorized root canal. The only cure is tooth decay. They took some tests, but he couldn't sleep. He was in so much pain. He went to the ER. Oh no, you fool. Go to urgent care. The ER is like so much more expensive. They kept him there. All of his teeth were infected. His gums were in terrible shape. I'm sorry. His gums were in terrible shape. Root canals in every tooth. Oh no, he's gonna need some tooth decay on every tooth to fight that. When he'd been fine before. Clean bill at the last dentist appointment. It was almost a year before he could have solid food again. Wait, why? Like, dentures and implants exist. They're like, no, we're punishing you for taking poor care of your teeth. Enjoy your 1 year liquid diet, bitch. Just in time for summer. When I heard this has happened, my mind immediately went to the candy. My mouth felt fine, but my stomach was still in bad form a year later. Wow. I pulled the bag of candy out of my suitcase. You still have it? Don't eat it, bitch. Don't eat the candy. No. You're sick still. Still. It's been a year. That motherfucker lost his teeth and couldn't eat solid food for a year. And you pull out your 1 year old meat juice candy. Please don't eat it. I can't stress that enough, man. Oh, God. And I immediately knew that had been a mistake to even pack it. It smelled bad. Like it had in the shop we bought it from. It smelled bad. Bitch, you make consistently the worst decisions on purpose. It's not like I didn't notice it smelled like shit till I got home. You're like, yeah, it smelled like shit, so I bought a bag of it. Then I noticed the stamp on the bag. I thought it was the store's logo or the name of the candy, but it said in a light red circle, Mr. Strange Teeth. And I thought that was weird because that definitely wasn't the name of the store, though I had a hard time remembering what the store was called. And the candy wasn't called that. She had called it Sweet Tooth. So who is Mr. Strange Teeth? So then I spent a good long while lying on my couch in an awkward position staring at Google Maps, trying to find that business's location in the Outer Banks. But I doubted it would be there since I remembered Liz said it wasn't on Foursquare. And then I looked at Google Earth because I just saw a lot of trees that were even taller than the ones that we've seen before. So even if the unusual plants were there, the tops of the taller trees are probably covering them as well as the road. And then at some point, it just wouldn't zoom in further. Which I guess makes sense because you can't expect the Google truck to go exactly everywhere. I mean, if Google trucks make Google Maps, and who tells them where to go? It's actually written like that. I didn't just make that up. I pulled out some souvenir placemat maps of the Outer Banks, and I didn't see any landmark that sounded like it encompassed the shop. So I kind of gave up. But when I showed the candy to my roommate and the stamp on the bag, my stomach almost dropped when she said, "Oh yeah, I've heard of Mr. Strange Teeth." She can't remember where she heard of him from, or even if he is a he, or if he is the name of a store or brand. Yeah, I've remembered things like that too. But I feel a little sad, like, some of the mystery and adventure had been taken away. Why, she didn't know shit about it, just, yeah, I've heard of it, maybe. Oh my god, it's no longer a mystery. But then the next day, I didn't feel sad anymore. I just felt curious, so I typed Mr. Strange Teeth into Google. And I got a few results, but the results didn't seem to have very many descriptions, and they led to non sequiturs or error 404 pages. So then I started getting weirded out. I would text people I knew if they'd heard of Mr. Strange Teeth, and they would say yes. But it was the same deal. They would not know where they'd heard of him or what he was. And if I said, does he have to do anything with candy? Some of them would say, oh, maybe. But most of them said, no, I don't think so. And then I called some souvenir shops in the Outer Banks, ones we'd been to early in the trip. And I said I was trying to find this location there, and I would mention the name Mr. Strange Teeth. And they would say, yeah, maybe they'd heard of him. Until finally one person transferred me to another person who transferred me to another person. And I stayed on the line and I wasted way too much time. But in the end, it was worth it because they said they knew who he was. They said they knew Mr. Strange Teeth. That was the nickname of a local man who had jumped from the balcony while he was staying at his beach house. Man, if I had a beach house, I would never jump from the balcony. This storyteller didn't remember which house it was, but she remembered the story because it was a small town. Anytime an ambulance goes through there, everybody sees it. Really? They're all looking in the direction there at all time? It was a bright sunny day, which was weird. I didn't picture it being a sunny day because for some reason, I don't picture bad things happening in the daytime. But she said it was a bright sunny day and he jumped from one of the balconies in the house. No one's really sure of his motivations. They assumed it was to try to kill himself, but he didn't die. He got up. His face had hit a rock, so his forehead and eyes were basically intact and his nose was a little busted, but mostly his teeth. His teeth and his jaw were completely wrecked. And he landed on one of his arms, just one. Like, he only put one of his arms out to catch his fall, while the other fell slack behind him. Loser arm. Big L for that arm. So his elbow bent backward completely. And a lot of people saw this happen, and a lot of them kids. Who saw the blood hanging out of his mouth, all of his teeth gone or at jagged angles. And then he walked onto his front porch and he just sat there. He sat there until somebody called him an ambulance. I wish I could be that undisturbed by things in my day-to-day life. Many people saw this happen, but I don't know why that story spread around, especially because no one seems to know where he is, if he did exist. And I don't know why that thing with Rin's camera happened, or the candy shop. I don't know how it's connected, or maybe it isn't. And all that was just my brain trying to remember something everybody else also knows. But mostly, I feel like I've been left out of this. So if you've heard of him, you can say that you've heard of him. And if you haven't, then that's fine. I mean, maybe I'll feel a little less alone, but probably he'll just not believe you. Somehow everyone knows him except for me. Or I guess it was the last to find out. I mean, it was 2-3 years ago that I found the candy. Maybe the woman said it was called Strange Teeth and I heard wrong or misremembered. Maybe Mr. Strange Teeth is just an urban legend I managed to never hear. I don't know why it matters that I feel so left out and alone. I don't know how that makes a difference in my life now. You know, I still have the candy. I don't know why there's a part of me that wants to eat it. Do it, bitch. I don't know why there's a part of me that hopes that it destroys me. But it does. But if it does, maybe I'll just sit on the porch. Letting myself fall apart in plain sight of everyone until somebody calls me an ambulance and takes me away.
The end.
Wow. Was it the candy? We'll never know. I guess all his teeth suffered from root canals on their own. So many root canals. What a terror. Truly, truly just the strangest teeth. I'm going to finish it out with one more story. And this is Cinema. It also has 5.2. 5 minutes of reading. Cinema. Cinema. Fleur Breckenridge School is closing this October. It was with heavy hearts that the faculty of our elite establishment announced the permanent closing of our beloved Fleur Breckenridge. I can't talk. Fleur Breckenridge Academy. I am high. This is hard. Over the last 2 years, we've been fighting to keep our school's name from being dragged through the dirt. However, only so much could be done once our reputation was tarnished by one word.
Murder.
Fleur Breckenridge was once highly regarded as one of the most elite schools in the entire country. It boasted an exceptional education with a rigorous curriculum and was made famous by a student body consisting of the sons and daughters of high society. Well, then who cares what happens? I'm not going to be rubbing elbows. Let them die. Mwahaha. After the events that took place in September of 2014, Breckenridge began seeing a decrease in incoming students. After this last year's incoming class, it became clear that our once illustrious academy would not be able to keep filling seats for the future. On September 22nd, 2014, sophomore Ivy Litton was found murdered in our school courtyard. Before her body was found, the students were gathered in the auditorium for the Monday morning assembly. After hearing a few words from the headmistress, a video made by the senior class was to be played to officially welcome new students. Instead of the light-hearted greeting the students were prepared for, the video that played was what looked like a sculpture. The camera zoomed out and panned around the piece before it was eventually made clear that the footage had been recorded on school grounds. The sculpture was of a girl, dressed in the school's uniform, holding a rose. Her head faced the ground, so nobody could not see her face at the angles the camera was pointing. Double negative just really bothered me. The audience fell silent as the video ended with the title screen, Cinema 9/22/2014, followed by the text, Please gather in the courtyard. Despite the odd nature of the video, the students remained calm and filed out of the auditorium in an orderly fashion. As they gathered in the courtyard, they were greeted by the sculpture from the video. The only difference, however, was that up close it was clear that this was not a sculpture at all. Who could have seen? M. Night Shyamalan, who? Hushed whispers turned to cries of terror when a teacher inspected the statue and confirmed it was the body of 16-year-old Ivy Litton. Litton murder was kept out of the news for some time since the initial cause of death was blood loss from cuts on her wrists. However, her body had been put through the process of plastination, a process used to turn biological specimens into plastic using a technology where water and fat are replaced with polymers, leading investigators to suspect foul play. All leads sadly turned up dead ends, and Ivy's killer, now referred to as Cinema. No, people aren't doing that. No one's calling a serial killer Cinema. What the fuck? No. They didn't give you a villain name. Nobody did that. They're all calling him the Joker. No. Was never brought to justice. Throughout the year, female students from different schools also succumbed to the same fate as Ivy. In every case, the victims' wrists were slit, and their bodies were turned into a horribly macabre pieces of art. On November 6th of that year, Catherine Keswick, the daughter of the school's wealthiest family, supposedly had an encounter with cinema and lived to tell the story. It was like a dream, Keswick answered calmly when interviewed. We go through life thinking that nothing like this can ever happen to us, and when it does, it's nearly impossible to process even days later. When asked what happened, the 16-year-old had this to say. One moment I was having a conversation with one of my friends outside of the auditorium, and the next I woke up tied to a chair in what looked like a dimly lit cellar.
I bet that's just like a normal house, and she's not used to it.
I was approached by a figure in a black coat and gloves wearing an ornate Venetian mask. They appeared to be male, but I could not make out their age due to the lighting. The last thing I remember was being shown a slideshow of all the other victims. It was like looking through an artist's portfolio. If I didn't know the true nature of the images, I would have found them to be breathtakingly beautiful. After the last light had passed, everything went black. The next morning I woke up in a hospital bed. Students were questioned in the weeks following Keswick's encounter, including fellow sophomore Asher Evans. Evans found the unconscious girl outside of the school and immediately called an ambulance. Authorities say that the boy accompanied her to the hospital and stayed with her throughout most of the night. When questioned, Evans said that he, like many of the other students, had a feeling Keswick was next.
Catherine is a princess, Evans stated. She's beautiful, smart, and kind. Not to mention, she comes from one of the most respected families in our social circle. Given the victims this maniac has claimed so far, it's not surprising that she would be next on the list.
Families began to join authorities in attempting to not only provide relief for those affected, but also aid in the search for cinema.
It's too close to cinnamon.
The only similarity between the victims was that they were all high school females with wealthy and influential backgrounds. I mean, they all come from your school too, right? 3 months after Keswick's kidnapping, the nature of the crimes began to change. While the murders were fewer and more spread out, the victims were displayed in more complex poses with additional elements added. It was almost as if the murderer had got feedback on their work and began to change certain things to appeal to their critics. Another theory was that cinema now had an accomplice. This speculation, however, was left out of most forms of media. To this day, cinema has yet to be caught. I can't believe that's how this is ending. We still don't know their goals or motives, or even what age they might be. For all we know, they could have been a student at the very school where this all began. After all, nobody really knows what goes on behind the gilded gates of the notoriously wealthy. I bet it was Mr. Strange Teeth.
That's my pet theory. Mr. Strange Teeth and cinema are one and the same. What the fuck is with these people's OC named, like, supervillains? I just had a conversation with a patron about this. How, like, lately the D&Ds have been these, like, ridiculous OC villains and bringing up, you know, Mr. Entropy. And now we've got cinema and Mr. Strange Teeth. And the lack of ending or real description just makes me want to make my own. Anyway, hopefully you enjoyed this. And if you did, you can join me this Saturday for November's live show where we will be picking... you will be picking the topics. I mean, I get final say, but my suffering is always your pleasure. And we'll read some of the internet's worst erotic stories, which are horrifying to an entirely different level, just the worst. And hopefully you will come there and listen to the worst with me.
And until next time, I'll see you then. Mwah. Bye, guys.